Hi, I'm Greg Schaefer, and welcome to the Virtual CISO Moment. Daniel Waters joins us today. He is a cybersecurity and technology strategist, startup advisor, business builder, cybersecurity subject matter expert, and thought leader. Dan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Greg. Absolute pleasure to be here with you. Very pleased about all the work you've been doing and been following for a while. Very impressed, and it's a great opportunity to be here and reach a few people. Thank you.
I appreciate that plug, and the check is in the mail, so thank you very much. Would love to hear about your cyber journey, how you got started in cyber, why you got started in cyber. I know that for some people, it wasn't like a natural thing when I was a kid. Hey, I'm going to go into cyber, but that, of course, is because cyber didn't exist when I was a kid, because I'm a dinosaur. But what got you involved, and tell us about your journey.
Sure. I mean, there's kind of a long story and a short story here. I'll try to hit somewhere in the middle. But grew up in Australia, moved to the US when I was 32. But one of the things that very early on, actually, I used to read a lot of astronomy books when I was, you know, 7, 8, 9, loved the pictures. And then when I found out that you had to be good at maths, it broke my heart and I never opened them ever again. fast forward many years, and then I realized, hey, I really like computing. But what kind of got me into computing was computer games. So there used to be a game called Civilization 1 and Civilization 2, Sid Meier's. Lots of people probably remember them. And I was so obsessed. I was very competitive. I was so obsessed with beating this. I used to look for all of the patterns in the machine. And that passion for the patterns and being able to essentially learn and beat the machine gravitated, moved forward into, okay, well, there's actually some logic here. I want to understand that logic, which led to the math, which led to the evolution, which led to everything you're seeing today. So that catapulted me, if you will, into a degree in computer science. And then had a great fun, the University of Tasmania, the humble University of Tasmania in Australia. And I was just very fortunate from there, after really working very hard, to go from more of a traditional computer science core background, you know, algorithms and metrics, operating systems, kernel, software engineering, etc. And then back in the day, I think you alluded to it, security was more native. No one essentially mentioned the word cyber. Really, I would say that stays with me today in terms of how I think about solving problems. But over time, gravitated more towards the business side, consultation, helping businesses, helping people, and really finding new and interesting creative ways to apply that foundation that I had accumulated and applying that in different ways to solve at the business level, which is exactly where I am today.
Well, what just from, you talked about applying at the business level, what does that mean, like in layman's terms?
It means a couple of different things, but really, you think about fundamentally, what are we trying to do in business? We're trying to keep people employed. Sometimes we're trying to invent things. We're trying to evolve and bring things to the market, new medicines that people depend on, new inventions, new ways of scaling operations to drive products, to a cheaper price point. So technology is such a key part of that revolution, that evolution, but kind of a key point I would say is at some point there was like this subtle revolution where we've greatly took the scale of interconnectivity to a whole new level that drove hardware, software, the metric around interconnectivity, if you will, to a whole new level. I'd kind of put that in the VMware Ascension bucket around 2007, 2008. And that evolved. So from a business perspective now, we're so interconnected and there's so many ways to make money for businesses. They are so dependent on security. So security is just so ingrained into the overall thought process now, much less than it was 15 years ago. So everything needs to be a starting point around business risk, business performance for me. Many may disagree with me, but I think starting at those two points is always a great way to simplify what we're trying to do and how we should think about effective and efficient ways to drive security to secure that organization.
And that's a great jump from that to what I'm going to ask you in just a moment, because obviously it applies to businesses of all sizes. Small and mid-sized businesses will have some of the same issues and threats, but not necessarily have the resources to help with per se. So I'm going to give you about 18 or 19 seconds to ponder this question. And that question is, what do you think is the most significant or significant threats, I should say threat or threats, to small, mid-sized businesses today as far as from a cyber perspective? So we'll come back in just a moment.
The virtual CISO moment is brought to you by vCISO Services, a leading provider of quality and experienced virtual chief information security officers for small and mid-sized businesses. Check them out at vcisoservices.com.
All right, Dan, you probably already had an answer teed up, I think, because we talked about this before, but what do you think? What's one of the most significant threats to small and mid-sized businesses today as far as cyber goes?
Well, if you asked me on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, you might get a different answer every day. But I think really what it comes down to is, you know, when it comes to computing, when it comes to cyber, there's no magic tricks here. It's all about foundations. And those foundations apply at different magnitudes of scale, whether you're dealing with small to medium enterprises, up through to mid-market to enterprise, and your juggernaut Fortune 10 organizations. It's always the foundations. And I think a lot of people get caught up in some of the complexities, some of the cyber beauty pageant, I would call it. What will this give me if I spend all of this money? Well, I like to call that the Maginot Line defense. So prior to World War II, the French actually instantiated, I love the word instantiated, sorry, I just had to drop it in, a concrete fortress. And that was designed to keep out the Germans. But what actually happened in once World War II broke out is the Germans just went around it through the Ardennes. And so my point is that there's a nice analogy there for how overspending or spending can give you a false sense of confidence. Usually it does some good, but it requires some thought process. So I think that is one of the pillars of how I would think about this particular problem. Foundations, be careful where you're spending, how and why, really understanding that. I think the other piece is, as we zero in a little bit more from the SMB side, these folks are just trying to run their business for the most part. They started somewhere, maybe it was a garage, maybe it was a garage plus Amazon, many others, but it's really hard to run a small business and people get a lot of their emotions caught up in this. So you get a lot of this emotional overcorrection or emotional overbalance. They don't really have 24 hours a day to think about, well, how might someone rob me or hack me or steal my identity, et cetera. That said, again, foundations, packaging up those foundations at different magnitudes of scale, distilling down what works in large organizations down and applying it in an operationally valid context for small to medium businesses is what the key is. So I think there's so much that can be done from a collaboration perspective, from an expertise perspective to help the smaller organizations out, because just deploying, you know, your key endpoint protection technology, yeah, that's going to do a lot of good, but it's not necessarily going to help you when your domain admin username and password gets compromised on the dark web. So that's where I kind of start the thought process, and really where you take that is really about the flavor of the business. And really, you know, we mentioned some of the business risk, business strategy, but it all starts there. And then it's a logical conversation forward.
Well, I think that foundation items are so important as well too. And often disregarded because they're not fun. They're not flashy. They're not sexy. It's like in a medium to large size business, a lot of times you have the CISO, they're going to want to bring in some flashy tools and that have great reports with wonderful colors and they can show the board and all that. But I do agree in that, and I'm pivoting actually from small businesses to large business, but as you said, it kind of affects both to focus on the fundamentals. But I almost see that's pulling folks trying to find a simple solution with all the stuff, a black box, if you will, is pulling people away from even understanding what the fundamentals are. Are you seeing any sort of, from the security community, from us, are you seeing any sort of shift away from really wanting to pay attention to the fundamentals?
Yes. And some of it is deliberate and some of it is subconscious or by accident. And I would really kind of call it the pace of business, pace of IT. If you think about what human behavior looks like in the modern workplace today versus, again, I'm going to kind of single out that 15 years ago point. What we're dealing with is we're inherently ingrained into a highly reactive state. So we're chasing things. It's harder to be proactive. Being proactive is a little bit like the golden chalice now. And so you have this situation which has been very predominant in the last 3 or 4 years since, let's call it 2019, slightly before pre-pandemic, accentuated by the pandemic era, is people are just drained, especially in the cyber, also IT, but especially in the cyber front. We've got an increase in threat and risk landscape. We've got an increase of related actors, but also state-sponsored actors, which is a whole different ballgame when it comes to protecting your environment, protecting your overall business ecosphere across suppliers as well. And so there's a lot that we can be doing to restore some of that balance, get good habits around time management, good habits around team balance, family balance, what happens outside of work. It's critically important to how you perform inside of work. And I think, you know, especially like a lot of through across a lot of leadership and really what predominates across industry is people have lost sense of that. The ranking of a high valued employee is who works the hardest, not who works the smartest. And, you know, that focus on team that we used to have, I think we've lost some of that. And it's very critical because no successful cyber apparatus is ever going to be dependent on one single team. It's always going to be defined, sorry, one single individual. It's going to be defined by a high performing team.
Do you think that we lost part of that aspect of team, that the team aspect because of COVID and the increased reliance on video conferencing? Or did you see that maybe we were heading in that direction anyway?
I think we were heading that direction, you know, and I wouldn't put it all down to remote work. There's obviously a loss of, let's kind of human-to-human chemistry or business chemistry when you're apart. I think people have gotten really great at building the chemistry that they can over remote mechanisms. Mm-hmm. But I think we were heading down that path just with the pace really driving a lot of these behaviors, time constraints, business demands, all these things. Are dimensions to the problem. But definitely, I think once we hit COVID, some of the mind shift changed, mind shift towards business, mind shift to what matters. I'd also say that the overall macro environment provided a kind of stimulus where in many cases, it was viewed that it would be very easy to get another job. So it had an inflationary pressure or an inflationary effect on how people think about the workplace. My view is quite simple, and I don't think it's too different from many others. You care about your work, you deliver with quality, you try to deliver with excellence, and you always learn. If you have the mindset, oh, well, I'll just do what I can today and I can just leave a job that I have today and go somewhere tomorrow, there's not much skin in the game, right? Yeah. And I think to be happy as individuals, we like to have skin in the game. And we like the opportunity to deliver and exceed what's expected of us.
Yeah, I think the skin in the game is so important. But you touched on something earlier about chasing things. That was an interesting way of putting it. When we were talking about not looking at the foundational items of cyber, is the chasing of things kind of related to this breaking away from teams and looking for, well, for lack of a better word, an easy solution as opposed to looking at the fundamentals?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, greater task delegation, segregation that there ever was. I would argue that just in my personal experience. And I think there's a lot of transactional behavior of how we actually execute work versus being more programmatic focused or holistic focused is probably a better way to say it. So a great way to think about it is, oh, well, 10 years ago, did I get 550 emails a day? And of those 550 emails, what's actually valuable? What's actually materially useful to the business? You add up how much time you had to spend on something you had to quantify as being something you need to deal with. you add that up per business day, how many business days there are a year. And then if you work every day, like some people do, that's 365 days of the year. That's a lot of time you will never get back. Mm-hmm. And so I think that kind of goes to my next point, a mindset around that time is your best currency, if you will, is very important. And that starts to shift towards, well, how do we actually drive that balance we talked about 10 minutes ago or so, and getting a little bit out of that reactive state, because the reactive state will drive burnout. It will drive the accidental development of bad behaviors. So the brain runs out of glucose. It starts to harden behaviors and put them into the rear of your brain. This is all science. I'm not making it up, I promise. And so the brain only has so much glucose available to it. If it has to cognitively think over and over and over, you start to take shortcuts, you start to feel exhausted, you don't sleep as well, you're grumpy, you're arguing with your wife or your husband or your dog. And it's just a vicious cycle that's very hard to untangle. So I've spent a fair bit of time over the last few years looking at untangling that with a lot of results, and tying that back to the small to medium business world. I don't think it's a Picasso or a science experiment, but it's just dropping in the right guiding principles, the right practices to help them be happier, manage their business more effectively, but also manage their business more securely.
So how does someone start there? And when you were talking there, I was remembering a time when I felt that I was so consumed. I felt like that I had to do more. And of course, as I tried to do more, your productivity really starts to go down after a certain amount, so that, you know, people that work like 60, 70 hours a week may be less productive than someone that puts in a good 38, something like that, or 40. And I found it very difficult to even, I didn't even understand what was going on with my stress, which is one of the reasons we talked about this before recording, that talking about burnout in cyber and getting that forefront in people's minds, I think is so important. So at the very least, they can identify it. How can they identify it? And once they identify it, what's something that they can at least, it's hard to stop on a dime. You know what I mean? It's like, what's the first thing they can do to address it?
Yeah. And recognizing is an equal problem, right? And we don't want people to necessarily hit bottom of the barrel. I'll be honest, I've hit bottom of the barrel before, where I need to work 25 hours, but there are 24 hours a day. Oh, and I also need to sleep and feed myself. That's no good. So we want to catch it way before we get to that point. I think a lot of the solution here really comes down at the leadership level, but it doesn't have to just be there. But I think getting on a phone call, and everyone will have a frame of reference where someone got on the phone and said, I really appreciate you as a person. I care that you're here. I care that you've just given me 30 minutes of your life, and I really value that we have some kind of business relationship. That makes people feel really great about themselves. And this is nothing to do with cyber and everything to do with cyber at the same time. But having a workplace that shows that the leadership level, mid-management level, if it's a small to medium business, they might not have mid-level management, right? But I think having a leadership-driven message, we care about your time, we care about productivity, we care about quality, is a great place to start, because people, when they open up their laptop, what do? I'm glad to be here. That's the first thing they do, versus begrudgingly, I've got to open up my laptop and now I've got to face a wall of emails and I've got to hurdle that and now I've got to figure out my day. Knowing that people have your back, your colleagues have your back, and it's not all down to you, comes back to that team environment. I think there's a lot of science that we need to extract to get that team performance, and, you know, not calling out people like Napoleon, you know, getting all political or whatever, but Napoleon was kind of known for someone who, and I can't remember the exact quote, but it was something along the lines of, if you need to lead a man, you talk to the soul or you talk to the heart. You don't talk to his head. And so I think that, again, not getting militaristic on anybody here, I think that there's a lesson there. Knowing that every day your boss genuinely cares, or the leadership of your company genuinely cares, provides a great framework for folks to be motivated. If they're motivated, they're going to give you that little bit more.
Absolutely.
And they're not, again, I highlight how much time gets wasted every year on things that aren't that materially productive. Can't get rid of it all, but maybe you can chop it down by 70%. And then what does that look like? It means you return to your family, you bring ideas to the table, you care for people. And, you know, I'd point a little bit to what Google, I'm not sure if Google still do this, but they used to do that kind of 80-20 rule. They would give people 20% of their time to just work on a passion. And a lot of those passions turned into projects and products that they actually generate revenue from today.
I think that need to add something though, as far as from my personal experience to the leadership item in the environment, in the place where I was at, I will give credit that my supervisor at the time tried, would often like say, oh, Greg, glad that you're here. You're doing a great job, this and that. But they had a tendency to not be consistent. And every now and then, there would be like a blow up over something that usually was a misunderstanding. It was usually the fault on their side. But I was at the point where it was like walking on eggshells every time I came in. I didn't know if it was going to be good boss or bad boss day. And that was what was very stressful. And as I told them one time, and I purposely used the pronoun them because I don't want to indicate who they were as far as identification. But I said to them at one point in time, you can give me 10 wonderful compliments. And then when something like this comes up and you bash me for no reason, it erases everything.
Right.
And they never got it. And so what I ended up having to do, and this is the advice I give folks that are burning out in cyber because of their job, I say, you know, at some point in time, you just got to leave if it's a toxic environment.
Yeah, you raised so many great points there. Consistency is critical. You don't want to feel like you're flipping a coin to see if this is going to be a good day or bad day. You should always know what side of the coin that's going to flip. And then I think that some of the authenticity is very important as far as, you know, everything we've been talking about, providing that positive kind of environment. So I think that's very, very key. And then, you know, again, it's not just that interaction between you and that person, but those around you also observe that. And, you know, classic saying, it only takes one bad apple, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, you've got to be very careful to conduct yourself. If you're trying to promote an image, if you're trying to illustrate certain brand of leadership, certain principles, you need to be consistent because that, you know, someone will remember that one bad day or that one scolding. And kind of a little bit off topic, but something I think from my Big Four experience that for the most part gets done very, very well is the feedback loop. There's a way of passing back that criticism without it feeling like criticism. It's treated as a behavior, as something that someone is gifting you. And that is something that you can now take forward and say, right, that person just gave me an advantage to actually help my career. And it was transparent, it was truthful, mm-hmm. it was productive, it was non-judgmental. And so that's a very important piece to get that feedback loop going. No one's perfect. We're all students of the game. We're always learning. No one knows everything. And so you need to rely on someone to provide that. And if you think about some of the greatest business leaders we have, for example, Jamie Dimon, I've read a number of autobiographical pieces about him. And, you know, what's particularly impressive with him is his focus on mentorship. So mentorship, very important. But that back to what you were saying, you got to have the right mentor, right? And they got to show up.
Yeah. Well, we can't avoid the stress, though, in all situations. Inevitably, we are going to encounter it. And I'm sure you've encountered it. And sometimes probably still do, because just being in cyber can be extraordinarily stressful at times. So what's one of the things you do, Dan, to get away from it, to decompress to from all the stress?
So dare I say, I'm going to embarrass myself. I play a little bit of retro computer games. I don't like the new stuff. It's, you know, medieval Total War 2. That's one example. You know, obviously the physical workout stuff is very important.
Yes.
But probably a little bit of a differentiator. I really like my history books and anything to do with strategy. So I feel that that's something, whether it's business or economics or cyber or technology, there's always some interesting lessons that you can take from other people. So I try to learn from that and try to reflect on that. It actually helps me relax. They're the main ways that I focus. And then obviously there's the good old fashioned holiday with the kids, which sometimes turns out to be not a holiday, a recent Disney ship trip. But yeah, that's what I do. And I think it's important to identify, you know, what is important to you and how you unplug and kind of stick to that, because we're all different.
Absolutely. So what future plans do you have, Dan, to want to share?
Yeah, so been doing this for 23 years, right? So I want to keep doing what I've been doing on the consultation, BD side, helping startups, etc. For me, it's probably a point, you know, now that I'm over 40, thinking about what's my legacy. So there's some of that which is tuned to business, results in business, but it's got to be more than that for me. So very interested on the educational side of things, very interested on helping the next generation. They're taking a step into the pond that was very different for you and I, for example. And so they're entering, I'd say the attributes of that, it's far more complex, more vendors, business climate is, you know, there's more at stake. And so how do you take that step in the right areas? It's very confusing for a lot of people. It's often very confusing for me. And so trying to find a way for the next generation to step into this industry on the right foot with confidence, but also not just be purely focused on the OSI model or DNS or some technical engineering type of piece that they're really passionate about. They've got to look at, yes, the technology is important, but it's fitting within an overall problem domain. And I think what's missing from a lot of the folks coming through the mill these days is really understanding that to be successful, you have to identify problems. For that, you need to ask the right questions. If you do not ask the right questions, you will never solve the key problems. And that's all we're doing. We're just solving problems over and over again, slightly through a cybersecurity or technological lens, but really it's just problems over and over again. So for me, reaching people, driving a baseline where I can, through you know, high school, elementary school, university, post-grad, just helping people, finding ways to just light that fire within individuals and maybe make a difference over the longer term. So that's what I'm particularly passionate about. I'm also writing a number of books around strategy, funnily enough. So that's part of my future plans to get those out. It could be a series. It may not be a series, but we will see. And I think that's where I'm focused on right now. You know, whatever I can do to help small to medium businesses and help grow or augment the next you know, startup, if you will, I'll certainly be there to support that, to deploy what I've accumulated very painfully over a very long period of time.
Well, I appreciate your servant heart there. I often will say that if you have a heart of a servant, you're always going to be successful, because that's how you measure your success. It's not in anything else, but as you said, your legacy and helping others. So I appreciate that.
Thank you. Greatly appreciate you too. And yeah, thank you for the time. I mean, this has been tremendous, and I always learn something about myself when I speak to someone or do one of these. So this is great. And, you know, hopefully, your show continues to evolve to great heights, particularly into the new year. And I'd love to be back again after solving a few more critical business problems.
Well, absolutely. Would love to have you back. I love doing this. You are my 114th discussion that I've done since I first started to do this back about a year and a half ago. So I appreciate your time and look forward to talking to you again sometime, Dan. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And everybody, stay secure.